Welcome to the Watoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we listen to the message.
Last week we were talking about vision, and we clearly said that there is no way we would be able to do what God has called us to do without you. Without you, each one of you, leaders, each one of us here, because we are the body of Christ, isn't it? It's not just the pastors who are the body of Christ. That would be weird, because that would be like the eye or maybe the hand, and that's it. But we all make up that body of Christ. And part of what God has called us to do, like Pastor Brian said, is do self, be part of community. Today we want to just talk about this one fact that God created us for community. God created you and I for community. Because, you know, each one of us here, if you look at yourself, you are a community. You know, you have different parts of you that serve who you are. We have a recent issue that just happened. There's an introduction of a tax, and OTT, you know, I'm sure you have not heard of it. You don't, you know, those things don't bother you. But there are quite a number of people who, because of this tax, have been disgruntled, bothered. They are outraged by it. And I was just thinking about it and wondering, why are people so outraged? I mean, you have an option. There is no gun on your head. You just don't pay it, isn't it? But people are outraged. And why is it? I think it's, you know, there are many reasons, but one of the biggest reasons is because they feel they are being limited to connect to their social community, isn't it? I feel like, man, I have my buddies. Now I can't talk to them anymore. You know, there's a bit of a challenge there. And they feel like, you know what? I have been having a community that I talk to, a social community that I engage with. And all of a sudden, now I cannot. I think this is a good testament to say, not only are you bodily created, you know, as a community, you know, you have different parts of you that serve one purpose, but also socially, we live in a community, and it is important for us to deal with that community, to socialize, to engage with that community. And I tell you, the God that created us is a God of community. He lives in community. As believers, we believe that God is three in one. Now, how does he pull that off? How does he do that? That God is three in one. He is completely one and yet completely three. Amazing, isn't it? When God created Adam, Adam was the perfect man. He had no need. But yet in Genesis, we see that when God created this man, put him in the garden, provided for him, blessed him, man was full. He had everything. He had a purpose. And yet, after all of that, God turned around and said, it is not good that man should be alone. It isn't good that man should be alone. I believe that is speaking to us that God has created us for community. We have not been created to do life on our own, to live in an island. There's a gentleman called Gilbert, the other name, you will read it if it goes up, Bill something. He said, hallelujah. He says this, he says, community is deeply grounded in the nature of God. It flows from who God is, because he is community. He creates community. Therefore, the making of community may not be regarded as an optional decision by Christians or for Christians. It is a compelling, irrevocable necessity, a binding divine mandate for all believers at all times. Very, very many big words. But basically what he's saying is we have been created for community, to do life together. Now, I know when I talked about social media, some of you had this phone, oh, my 1,000 friends on Facebook and 500 followers on Twitter and all these things. But when you think about those friends, those 1,500 people that you have, do you really do life with them? Are they really your friends? I don't think so. I really don't think so. I believe that phones and technology and social media cannot replace the importance, the value of real human connections that bring life to us. They cannot. In fact, a gentleman called Ben Reed said, authentic community is both the goal of the church and the means of achieving that goal. Authentic, real community is our goal. This is why as Watoto Church, we celebrate Christ in a big community, but we also go and care for community in a smaller community. Why? Because we are looking for authentic community where people can be real. When Jesus, our Lord and Savior, the head of the church, when he began his ministry at 30 years, guess the first thing he did? Did he call for a social media expert? He might have consulted Facebook, say, how do I get many people to like, follow? No, he didn't do that. Jesus went and chose 12 disciples. Jesus formed a small group. The man that has caused the greatest impact, that has had the greatest influence on the world to date, when he was looking for a strategy to change the world, he formed a small group. He formed a small group. No wonder the disciples, when they were in Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit had come and filled the room, and Peter got up and stood out and started to preach, the Bible tells us that the men and the women who were listening were cut to heart. And they got saved. They repented. And the scripture says, and 2,000 people were added to the church that day. Guess the next strategy that the disciples used to disciple those people. They formed small groups. Friends, I want to tell you, you and I were created for community. God intended for us to do life in small numbers, for growth to happen, for care to happen, for authentic community to take place in small groups. Praise the Lord. So the scriptures tell us, and we want to read today from Acts, a great example of what happened in the church, and we want to look at some of the things, because this is the very beginning of the church. It is the beginning. This is the church of our Lord Jesus beginning to influence. The Holy Spirit is leading and guiding. And we see that the disciples began to do something that I believe you and I can pick some lessons from. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47. This is what it says. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayers. And awe came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together, and they had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together, breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their numbers day by day those who were being saved. Jesus, I ask, Lord, speak to us. God, we are your sons, we are your daughters, each one of us. And you love and care about us. And so we ask, God, wherever we are on our journey with you, would you speak to us? Would you customize this word that each one of us will receive it as our word for now and will result into an action? In the name of Jesus, we give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Friends, the scriptures everywhere show us that God created us so that we could be in community. I just told you that as soon as the Holy Spirit came, the disciples were preaching. There were about 120. And immediately Peter preached, the Bible says 2,000 people were added to them. 2,000. It's more than the numbers in this place. I believe Peter's biggest concern was the Great Commission. You remember that? In Matthew, Jesus told him, listen, hey, you are supposed to go and make disciples of all the nations. And I'm sure Peter at that point was thinking, how am I going to do this? How do you disciple? How do you grow 2,000 people? What, you know, it's easy with 200, with 120, because that's the number that was up there. Even that is big. But now they had been added to 2,000 people. The church grew in one day. 3,000 people. And in my mind, it quickly hits me that the very next thing we see is in Acts 42. It says this, and they devoted themselves. These are things that we can learn from, we can benefit from. The Bible says here, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking bread and prayers. Okay? It shows that there are two things that we quickly gain, and they did this in small groups. Because when you go down if we read verse 43, it says, and it all came upon every one of them, verse 44, and all who believed were together and had all things in common, verse 46, and day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food and glad and generous hearts. The Bible tells us that they did two things, and this I love this. They celebrated Christ in the temple, but they went home and broke bread and fellowshipped together. That was the strategy they had. Friends, there is a benefit that you and I get from doing life together in small groups. An incredible, incredible benefit. And we want to look at two things that we see from this scripture that they gained from just doing life together. The first one is that by doing life in small groups, they grew through discipleship. They did what? They grew through discipleship. So from this scripture, we see that they celebrated Christ. Every weekend, ladies and gentlemen, it's good for us to come together and celebrate Christ in these big numbers. Okay? It is good. They did it. They went in the temple and they celebrated Christ. But can I tell you that true discipleship cannot happen in large numbers like this? It cannot. We cannot hold one another accountable in such large numbers. True discipleship happens when we are in smaller groups. I believe that God has ordained, he has purposed that each one of us gets our nurturing, our discipleship in a small group. I'll give you a simple life example. When you and I were born, I have three beautiful girls that I've had the privilege to witness their being born. Well, two. The other one, the nurses kicked me out. Midwives, please don't do that to the fathers. Allow us to suffer, okay? It is okay. Because let me tell you, giving birth is painful. Even me, I know. By osmosis. when your wife says, yeah, I'm telling you, even you feel. But anyway, when I know there are women here saying, you guy, you don't know what you're saying. But let me tell you, when a child is born, when a baby is born, it's not sent to school. It's not given to a team. It's placed in a family. A school is very important. So is the team. But do you know where God intended for discipleship, growth to happen? In a small group, a family. In a small group, in a you cannot grow just by coming here for celebration alone. You cannot. You're not going to grow. First Peter says this. Okay, First Peter chapter 2, verse 2. It says, as newborn babies desire the sincere milk of the word. You know, the scripture tells us in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship. They took time to wrestle with the word of God. They took time to learn, to study the word. How many of you have ever experienced a Sunday service where people put up their hands and say, Pastor, I have not understood that one. Anyone? I talk, you just nod your head, and you go. But where we do real engagement with the word is in cell. Not here. That's where we go back and say, "How? Explain to me what this scripture means." They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They sat under a certain teaching, the apostles' teaching, not any other. Praise the Lord. In order for them to grow. Peter says that in 1 Peter 2, as newborn babies, we are to desire that spiritual milk. I love 1 Corinthians 3, verse 2 says this. It says, I gave you milk, not solid food. It is important for us when we give our lives to Christ as young babies to spend time in the word of God if we want to grow. But unfortunately, can I tell you, sometimes we seek because we have a desire to grow, isn't it? I tell you, no one gives their life to Christ, is filled with the Holy Spirit, and has no desire to grow. We have a desire to grow. But most times, do you know what we do? We begin pursuing the achieving of that desire by moving from one church to another, from one conference to another, from one lunch hour to another. The challenge with that is you are still just receiving information. You are not able to sit down and break down that word in a small fellowship, a small group, which is called cell. So growth and discipleship, growth through discipleship happens in our small groups. There's no other way, friends, that we are going to grow unless we engage in our small groups. I like this, what the scripture says. It says they devoted themselves. Some of us have taken that step. We have moved from doing just celebration. We have actually gone for sale. But we are lacking that simple small word called they devoted. If we look at your average attendance in sale, we need 6 months. We can't do it for 1 month because the 4 weeks, most times you're not there. There is no devotion. That word devoted speaks about a certain level of consistency. And for growth to happen, friends, I have babies, you know, and I know you have to be devoted to feeding them. I am one of those parents. I am one of those guys. I can do many things, but I have a challenge with messy eating, you know. And my wife is incredible. She knows child development. So she says, leave them alone. Let them put the food on the face. And some of it will fall in the mouth. I'm thinking, get a spoon, feed the child, you know. So I most times I intervene and I just feed the baby. Let them, but then but she, for her, she's devoted to, I know what I am doing. The child is going to grow. They will feed themselves. But there has to be a consistency of that person being fed. Some of us, let me tell you, our last devoted meal is 4 months ago. And if we are intending to grow that way, it's not going to happen. So for us, to grow, we first of all must be a part of a small group. Secondly, we must be devoted to that small group. continuously. Praise the Lord. We must be devoted to that small group. I love what the scripture says here in verse 43. It says, "And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles." You know, sometimes there's a portion of scripture where Jesus went back to his home, and when he was there, the scripture says he preached, and as he was talking, one of the guys looked at him and says, "But the presence of God was present." In fact, the Bible says, "And the anointing to heal was present." But as they were listening to him, one of the guys says, "But isn't that the carpenter's son?" And that was it. The Bible says, and because of their unbelief, Jesus could not do anything among them. You know, sometimes the challenge with why we don't see God move in our lives is because our understanding of him is so diverse, because some of us are consistent. Others come once in 3 months, in a quarter. So our understanding of the word of God is so different. So when you say, "Now let's believe God," the other person says, no. God blesses those who, help themselves. Say, "Boss, that is not in scripture." But you have not been devoted. Praise the Lord. But you see, one of the results of that being in a small group and being devoted to it, they stayed true to scripture, to the apostles' teaching. And as a result, the Bible says, as you go down, and the verse 44, "And all who believed were together and had all things in common." Their faith had matured. They were all mature. They had grown at the same level. And God was able to do some incredible things in their midst. Praise the Lord. These are all benefits of being in community. Just like a normal family, friends. Imagine if you had 5 siblings and 3 of you went to school and the others went to play. What would happen? You would all grow up. Growth size happens to all, okay? But you would not have the same maturity. Many times, friends, that's what we see in the body of Christ. The disciples knew it. They knew, "Man, we need to disciple the 3,120 people. The best way to do it is in small groups, in homes, where there's accountability, where when one is missing, they can check, "Hey, where's Andrew? We missed him. He didn't come last week. Can you check on him? You are his neighbor. Could you give him a call? But listen, I can't call you. I don't know your phone number," when we are in a crowd of 1,000 people. You hear me, friends? If we want to grow, we must do life in community together. That's why, as Watoto Church, in our vision statement, it's very clear. We are an English-speaking, cell-based community church. Why? We know that if we are going to raise the next generation of Ugandan leaders, if we're going to change this nation, discipleship has to happen. Growth must happen through discipleship, and that happens in cell. The second thing we see that I love, the second thing that we see that is an outgrowth, an outworking of discipleship, of growth, is that people began to care for one another automatically. Because they had grown, they had matured, they began to care for one another. We live today in an increasingly fragmented world. I know today we say we are the most, this generation is the most connected. Today you can get on your phone and speak almost in real time to someone thousands of miles away. Nevertheless, this generation is still said to be the loneliest generation. Why is that? Is it because we are not connected? That is not it. It's because we, as human beings, have been created for authentic community, for real human interaction. It's not enough for me to preach. You hear the word of God, but many of you will live here feeling, "I wish I had just someone who can hold my hand and pray with me and agree with me. Someone who could say, 'Hey man, Ivan, what's going on in your life?'" You know how that happens? It happens in a small group. That's the way God has intended this to be. It's the way God has intended it to be. We see that in the book of Acts, they quickly got the large number of people into small groups, into homes where they could meet together, where their understanding of Scripture was almost the same. In fact, the Scripture says, and they had all things in common. I like that. They had an understanding. Do you know why we live in such a fragmented world today? One of the issues is tribalism, race, but also social status. Today, there are places you go and you're not accepted in there because of your class. But let me tell you something that happens when you connect with Jesus Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile. There is neither female nor male. And the Scripture says, because they had matured in Christ, they came to a place of recognition that they were all the same. And so when I am, regardless of, if I am a millionaire and my brother, who Christ shed his blood for, is lacking, what's then the purpose of the things that I have? And that I have understood that all things belong to God and I am simply a steward. Why won't I share those things? Care. The reason why we see people not caring is because they have not been discipled. They have not been grown. The Scripture tells us very, very clearly that because they had all things together, they began to share what they had freely. Meanwhile, they were not being coerced. And we have such examples of things happening today. The testimony of a lady in Kansanga called Slivia. Slivia's not a Christian, and life happened, and as life happened, she picked up a drinking habit, and she eventually became the drunk of the village. You know, one of those people who, when people see, they turn the other side and walk away, and her family began to reject her because of the habits she had picked up. She was one of those who, in the morning, would be found in the gutters in the neighborhood. One of the neighborhood cells are cells that have been brought together by these ladies that have had challenges in their lives. They saw her and felt, hey, let's identify. Let's care. Why? Because we have come to a place where we recognize that there is no one greater. We are all equal. Every one of us has been saved by grace through faith alone, in Christ alone. So the neighborhood cell identified with her, encouraged her to come, went and picked her up, cleaned her up, encouraged her to come for sale. And once she came for sale and started coming, they loved and cared for her. She stayed in cell. Eventually, Sylvia gave her life to Christ. Her life was transformed 100%. Because of that transformation in her life, the glory of God was just shining all over her. And one gentleman in the community saw that glory and said, "Whoa, man." Walked up to her and introduced himself and proposed to her. And she said, yes. Some of you were thinking, she said, no. No, this story ends well. She said, yes. But you know what? The challenges were still happening because there are people in the community who are thinking, this can never work. You know, sometimes we have been given a name. What do you call blind Bartimaeus after he begins to see? Sometimes you have been given a name because of a situation, but when God begins to change your story. Anyway, Slivia, who everyone called drunk, now was engaged to be married. Of course, she did not have enough money to put on a wedding, and she was believing God for the best because the promises of God are all yes. And so she came back to her cell, and her cell said, hey, listen, gave them the news, and her cell said, we are going to do this. You are part of us. We're going to make this happen. The cell engaged the bigger congregation of the section and the zone, and they discovered that within that zone, there was someone who did decorations for weddings. There was someone who did cakes for weddings. There was someone who did videography for weddings. Let me tell you, when God has decided to set you up Friends came together. Someone brought free cars. Another one brought a suit. She got a free gown. She was looking incredible. On her wedding day, her own daughter gave her life to Christ. 5 other members of her community looked at the testimony of a changed life, and they also gave their lives to Jesus. This is a very true story. Slivia, as we speak today, hosts a sale in their home, her and her husband. As we speak today, 7 people have given their lives to Christ as a result of that sale, witnessing to them the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, where does growth come from? Where do we mature from? Just like a newborn baby, when it's born, it's not as much as a daycare center can have all the facilities, okay? As much as a daycare center can have all the unique facilities to look after a child, they can have all the toys. Some of us look at our families and think, man, I don't have what it takes. This is beautiful. But some of our homes, they don't have any of these things. None of these things exist. Sometimes this one does not exist. And you have to sit down like this and enjoy Jesus Christ from there. But let me tell you something. In that home, that is where discipleship and accountability come. Because some of us think, because these things are missing, we can't be discipled. We cannot grow. Hallelujah. Perfectionists. It is okay. You leave the thing there. But do you hear me, friends? God, listen, friends. God cares. God cares about you. God cares. I want you to know that Jesus Christ can do life in your cell when your cell is like this. He can. The presence of God can show up in that home. Because you see, this is our challenge. Many of us, we feel like, you know what? When I go to cell, there are no instruments. The presence of God won't come because it looks like that. Where 2 or 3 are gathered in my name, I am present. And you see, if you have had children, you know that a father or a mother will do anything for their child. Can I tell you that's what cell is supposed to be? That as we grow in God, we begin to care for one another. When we get into the Word of God, the apostles' teaching, and recognize how it has only been by grace alone that we are saved. We love, we care for one another. Can I tell you something? There's no way that can happen in large numbers like this. It's in a small group where true, authentic love and care can happen. It is only in a small group where trust has been built that we can begin to exercise that gift that God has given us. That's where we do baby steps of, friends, does anyone have something to share? And with shaking voices and a shaking hand, you say, hey, I read a scripture. Can I just share it? And everyone in the cell turns around and they look at you and say, please. And you say, hey, I read today that for God so loved the world. And the people in the cell, just, can I tell you, just like a parent, when my daughter first stood up for 2 seconds, I said, they have walked. And that's what cell is. Because when you say that scripture that everyone knows and here has heard, they say, wow. Incredible. And you know what that's going to do to you? It's going to encourage you to read more scripture. We can't celebrate the small wins that are happening in your life because we don't know them. You don't have an opportunity to share them. But God, just like a young baby has intended that you, well, as you do life in that small group, they'll celebrate the small things that you are achieving and that you will grow. Praise the Lord. God, friends, as I close, has called us, intended for us to do life in community. We are unable, completely unable to grow. Listen to what a theologian said, Francis something, name. He said, our relationship with each other is the criterion the world uses to judge whether our message is truthful. Christian community is the final apologetic. Our non-believing friends and family and co-workers and neighbors are watching and deciding on the validity of the gospel message. We need others to help us live lives worthy of God's calling so that people will see the power of God's love in and through us. When these disciples, when the church went and started doing life in small groups, the scripture doesn't say they went out and started doing crusades. But the Bible says because they were doing life together, God added to their numbers. When people saw how much they loved one another, how much they cared for one another, they said, I want some of that. I want to be a part of that. Do you know what Jesus said in John chapter 13, verse 34 to 35? He said, this is a new commandment I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. He gives incredible qualification there. He says, by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples. It's important, friends, for us to do life together. It's amazing that God, in the word of, in the scriptures, is referred to in so many ways, so many places as a father. And I believe for me that family is the greatest example that shows us the incredible need of small groups. So today, are you here? You're not a part of a cell. You call yourself a Watoto Church member, and we're grateful that you do. But we love you. We care about your spiritual growth. You mean so much to us. You mean a lot to us. Can I tell you, you mean a lot more to God. And we want to tell you that in order for you to grow, you have got to join a cell. This is not about numbers. It's not about what Watoto Church saying, wow, we have incredible numbers. That's not the point. The point is this, that you are a part of a life-giving group. You are growing. You are understanding His word. You are exercising the gift that God has given you. You are becoming a responsible and mature Christian. That is what matters. So if you are not a part of a cell, you are missing out on growth. You are missing out on what God wants to do in your life. If you have been a part of a cell, but you're not committed, friend, be devoted. Engage. Nothing grows without a certain level of devotion to it, a certain level of persistence on it, a certain level of consistency and care. I can't dash to the gym once in 3 months and expect to be like Pastor Andrew. It was not going to happen. It doesn't matter how much I pray. It's not. I have to be consistent about it. Do you hear me, friends? of men and women like you who have understood the value of sale, and they give their time. They're saying, hey, all we need from you is just tell us your name, give us a working phone number, and tell us where you stay. We'll find you a sale. We'll get you a sale. That's all. We'll get you a sale. We'll get you a sale. Come back after a month. Give us feedback. If you have a challenge with the sale you're in, we'll help you find another. But we need you to get plugged in. Friends, when we get to heaven, God is going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. We don't want to get there and he says, well, there's nothing you have done. You've not grown. We celebrate our babies. I love my three-year-old. I love the way she asks the most abstract questions. I love it when she sits on the chair and says, I want to go to pee-pee now. But if she was 20 and she sat on the chair and said, I want to go pee-pee now. We would seek medical attention. Friends, we laugh, but some of us in our growth, we are still saying, I want to go pee-pee now. And this is not to bash you, but this is to say, join a sale. Find some friends who are going to care and celebrate you and walk with you. Don't be afraid of the accountability. Hallelujah.
Thank you so much for joining us today. We hope this message has inspired you to spread the love of Jesus. If you would love to know more information about us, please visit www.watotochurch.com.